Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Back, it's 12 after, 800-531-3815, and welcome aboard WIBQ AM 1220, Sarasota, Florida, and parts there around. We're glad you're here. We're going to have a lot of fun. Looking forward to working with you down there in Florida. And all my friends over in Tampa and all around the area there. Our good friend Jack Harbor is our guest. Jack is with Sandler Training Institute. He's one of the top salesmanship experts that I know of in the whole world, and he's our good friend. Jack, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate that.
It's always a pleasure to have you back on the show, Jack, because you know that I like talking about what you like talking about, which is salesmanship and improving our sales forces, improving our sales management, and just making things get better. I don't know if you heard me saying this, but I was giving all of our wonderful accountants, all of our wonderful warehouse people, all of our wonderful backroom folks the bad news, and that's that nothing happens until somebody makes a sale.
No, that's absolutely true, and it is not just the better mousetrap that causes sales.
It's not that those other jobs aren't important. It's just that something has to come first. We've got to have an egg before we have a chicken, right?
That's true.
And the egg is a sale. There's just no question about it. And so what we got to do is we got to make sure that our salespeople are doing the best job that they can do, so all of the rest of us can have a job. And Jack, where should we start? What do you got on your mind today?
Well, you were talking before we left about where to start in terms of developing sales skills.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you mentioned it, but I didn't hear the whole session in between. After you started. But I hate to say this, but I think the sales training ought to start with the owner.
Huh.
He's the person who is probably the most enthusiastic about his product.
Yeah.
Will probably be managing the first salespeople when he gets to the point of hiring them. And has not a lot of experience in either how to sell or how to manage sales folks.
That is so true, because a lot of people, and think about it, folks, think about how you got started in your business, or those of you who are thinking about a new business. Is your background purely sales? Do you have sophisticated sales training? Or is it that you just know an awful lot about the product or service that you're going to offer? And those are two different things, aren't they? Knowing your product and knowing how to deliver that product to the marketplace are two different things.
Well, that's clearly important. If you're not excited about your product and not very knowledgeable on how it will help your customers, you're not going to be successful either. But
mm-hmm.
like you said earlier, that's not sufficient. That's necessary, but not sufficient, as I remember from my college logic days.
So are you saying that if you've got if a business has a sales force, but the owner is not capable of taking that product to the marketplace, that the salespeople won't be as successful as they could be?
Oh, I think that's absolutely true for a couple of reasons. The owner is unable to help them when they run into roadblocks if he doesn't understand the processes mm-hmm. they use to get to where they are. And unfortunately, salespeople won't always be as forthcoming as they might. And what I mean by that is, it's possible they'll blame something else for the product not being sold when the problem is just plain sales skills. And it will be very difficult for the owner to figure that out.
So maybe there is a legitimate reason why something isn't being sold. The product's defective, or the delivery has a problem with the delivery or the service, or there's some competitive pressure that the company's not addressing. And if the owner can't understand what the sales force is going through, then he or she is not going to be able to help them solve this as well.
Well, that's absolutely true. And as you know, Jim, there are some sales folks who you could hire who aren't the greatest salespeople in the world.
Yep.
And those are the folks who will find a reason to blame the competition, the pricing, the product, the market, the environment, when in fact the problem is theirs. And again, the owner might react to the wrong problem.
We call them spinos.
Yes.
Salesperson in name only.
That's true.
All hat and no cattle.
That's it. And it's very, you know, again, if you don't understand the sales process, it's easier to accept those excuses from your sales folks.
And what you've got then is you've got weeks, maybe months, maybe years of poor or bad performance, and that's a spiraling downward organization, isn't it?
It is. It absolutely is. And at that point, and I don't want to say this and sound like this, and this, I mean, I had this conversation on a downer, but at that point, it's tough to do anything about it. Once it starts down that slippery slope, it's very difficult to drag it back up.
So how do we get the owner trained? Where do we start with the owner then?
Well, a variety. There are three errors. It seems to me that the primary concern for an owner is just the skills. In other words, what do I say and how do I say it so that my customer or prospect discovers that my product is one they ought to be considering.
Mm-hmm.
But the other problem that often gets in the way, as we talked about briefly before, is that sometimes they're just uncomfortable asking the right questions to find out whether the person they're in front of really is a prospect, because they don't want the prospect not to like them. They have what we call a need for approval.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to sound very harsh, but the fact is that I am less concerned if the product likes me than I am if he finds a reason to like my product so I can make a sale.
Right.
After we've made the sale, we can like each other.
So what you're saying is that I need to subordinate whether the prospect likes me for the prospect liking what I have to sell.
That's absolutely true.
And that happens all the time. I mean, there are a lot of people who do business with companies. They don't love the salesperson or the person who's making, you know, they're making contact with, but they love the product. I mean, that happens all the time. So, and that's human nature. And it's actually a little bit presumptuous of us, isn't it, as salespeople, to expect that everybody will love us? I mean, you know, I may be the only person in the world who's been able to pull that off where everybody loves me, but most people can't do that, Jack.
Most people can't. And
yeah.
It's a
burden I bear, Jack. I'll tell you that.
That's why I'm so impressed with you, Jim.
Yeah, I can
you
see
are
that.
The only one I know like that.
I can see that, yeah.
the fact is that even if they don't like you, of course, they need to be able to respect you and have some trust.
Right.
That's not the same thing.
When we come back, folks, we're going to talk about this need for approval thing. We're going to make sure, and this is a big deal for owners especially, because we also want everybody to love our stuff, because we love our stuff, right? 20 after, stay with us, we'll be right back.
People call, say beware doll, you're bound to fall, you thought they were all kidding you.
We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. I think you'll like it. If you don't, we'll take you off the list. All you got to do is say so. Jack Harper is our guest. He's with Sandler Training Institute. Jack, we desperately need your website.
Oh, well, I desperately want to give it to you. It's www.dc.sandler.com. That's DC is in District of Columbia, and Sandler is S-A-N-D-L-E-R.
Yeah, Jack practices his trade there near the nation's wonderful capital. Jack, if someone goes to that site, they can find out how the Sandler organization operates by watching how you operate. And if you're in the DC area, folks, if you're listening, a number of different ways out of the DC area, and you're interested in sales training, which if you have a business you should be, you need to check out what the Sandler folks have to offer, especially Jack's organization there. And Jack, if somebody's listening and they're not near you, they're in another part of the world, like listening over our new affiliate down there, WIBQ out of Sarasota, you'll help them find a Sandler rep near them, won't you?
Absolutely will, or they can check the Sandler site, them to the nearest representative based on their zip code.
And that's Sandler.com?
Just plain Sandler.com, correct.
Okay, check it out. Folks, there are people like Jack, only maybe, well, I guess there are some maybe almost as good as Jack in other parts of the country, so check it out when you get a chance. Jack, okay, let's talk about this approval thing. If I own my company and I've got my products and services, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that my stuff is the best in the world. I love my stuff. I can't wait to talk about my stuff. I can't understand why everybody doesn't want my stuff. And it's a little bit it hurts a little bit when I find people who don't love my stuff. And I want them to approve of me and my stuff. How do I deal with people who don't?
Well, it's difficult to deal with people you don't, but like I think what you said earlier is very important. You've got to put their like of the product above their like of you personally. The analogy I sometimes use is if you had a cure for cancer, obviously you would love your product. There'd be no doubt that you would love your product. The question I would ask you is how much time would you spend with folks who didn't have cancer or didn't believe you when you said you had a cure?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is probably not much, because all the time you spend with that person, the people who could be saved by your product don't know about it.
Right.
So if you can look beyond the current person who perhaps, you know, depending on how you want to view this, isn't wise enough to see the value of your product, look at it as a chance to then go find the next person who is, who you can help.
So move on, huh?
Move on to the person who really needs or wants what you've got.
The only thing, I don't want this to sound like I'm taking issue with you, because I agree with you, because I think there are people that you got to move. We used to call them China eggs. They never will hatch.
Yep.
But I remember being a young pup salesperson and meeting people that I didn't particularly like them. It wasn't that they didn't like me. I mean, I can't imagine nobody liking me, but anybody not liking me. But I didn't particularly like them, and so I would go away from them. And then after a while, I said, wait a minute. If I'm going to be successful in sales, I've got to do business with everybody, at least if they need my product. And so I took on people who I didn't particularly like as a project. And I started figuring out how to sell those people. And I found out once you get through that initial crust, so to speak, if they're disagreeable people, after that, they're easy to sell to.
I think that's true. And again, I'm back to what I suggested a minute ago, that it's much less important that they like you or you like them.
Or you like them, right?
You can put it either way now. Than it is that the two, they have a business need, if you're selling business to business, they have a need that can be addressed by your product.
So bottom line here, I guess, Jack, what you and I are saying is that if people need what we have to sell, obviously that's the most important thing, that we qualify them, and that we don't waste each other's time if they don't have the need. And the other stuff, whether we like them or they like us, that's really secondary, isn't it?
It absolutely is,
and it gets in the way, doesn't it?
But that's where we've gone full circle now. It's very difficult to keep those two separated. When I say we've gone full circle, people want to be liked, and when the product is the owner's own product, he views that as part of himself, almost the fact, if you like me, you like my product, and if you don't like me, you don't like my product. And somehow we got to take the personal out of it and move into qualifying this prospect on the basis of the product, not on the basis of their personality.
So if you and I are in social settings, if I want you to feed my ego and make me happy, I want you to act like you like me.
Yes.
But if we're in sales, folks, what we need to do is, if you want to feed my ego, buy my stuff.
True. Right. That's true. That works for my ego.
Yeah, it does me too. But that is a lesson that salespeople, and especially owners, they have to learn that lesson, don't they?
Well, it's a human, like you said, if we're in a social situation, we all want to be liked.
Yeah.
And sometimes that keeps us from asking the right questions or from disqualifying a prospect and moving on, because if we do, we're afraid we won't like them. Now, if we stay with them forever, will they buy? Maybe someday.
Yeah.
The question is, how much more selling could we have done in that time?
Well said, Jack. Excellent last word. Thank you for being here. Good job today. Jack Harbert, ladies and gentlemen, with the Sandler Training Institute, and that's dc.sandler.com. Jack, thanks a lot. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Jim.
Quick break. Right back with Ed Yordan. Can't wait to look into his crystal ball. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.